Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Volume 11, 4, 10, 12. My daughter, Louisa, the souls who will shine the most, like bright gems in the crown of my divine mercy, are the souls who have more trust, because more trusting they are, the more they give space for the attribute of my mercy to pour into them all the graces that they want. So here Jesus is saying that Jesus, I trust in you, is so important to him. He said to Louisa once, the thing that hurts me the most is the lack of trust, the people's lack of trust. So again, he says, the souls that will shine the most like bright gems in the crown of my divine mercy are the souls who trust in him. So that's where the fiat comes in. When something goes wrong, we say fiat. When something happens and it's a difficulty, we say fiat. And we have to begin to thank Jesus for every situation. When you give your fiat, how happy the Lord is when you give your fiat. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this life of trust. Live this life. It says in Leviticus that the Messiah will heal by its hem, by his hem. The Messiah will heal by its wings. And on the tillet that the Jews wear, the four corners are called wings. They're called the hem. So when the woman looked at Jesus, said, he's the Messiah, and she touched his hem, Jesus turned around and said, who did this? Who knows that I am the Messiah? Which one of you? Okay? That's the same thing today. When we believe in him, when we hope in him, Christian hope is certitude, when we hope in him, when we have confidence in him, what we go through is fiat. There's no more complaining, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. And I think that's what God is asking of us. He's asking us to really begin to live a life that he breathed into Louisa. So he says this. On the other hand, the soul who does not have real trust in Jesus closes the graces within Jesus. And remaining poor and unequipped, the soul, that's where the soul is, while my love remains contained within me and suffers greatly. What our God is asking of us is that we begin to give him the blessings that he wants to give us. See, he's so happy to give us mercy. He's so happy to give us all the graces. A number of times what we have to do, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. And what we have to do is we have to say to Jesus, give me the grace to accept the graces. So sometimes the graces are there, but we haven't prayed to accept them. And they wash off us. So we have to really be really honest with Jesus. I want these graces. I don't seem to be getting these graces. I need to have the grace to accept these graces. You know, give me what you want, Jesus. Let me live your life. Let me live the life of Mary through what you gave to Louisa. Volume 11, 11, 11. If there was only one more 11, it would be kind of fun. 15. Now the soul who lives in my divine will vividly feels this wound of mine as if it were her own. The soul cries, prays, and would suffer anything to save the poor creature. And so that my wound of love may not be exacerbated by the offenses of the creatures, my daughter, these tears, pains, prayers, reparations soothe my wound and descend upon my breast to be shown to the Father and to move the Father to have pity for the creatures. So here, the wound in Jesus' heart. Again, it's like looking at the Sacred Heart. It is split in two. It is surrounded by thorns. It is split in two. He shed every drop for our salvation. It is burning with love for us. And yet it is surrounded by thorns because of our continuous sins. And Jesus says that when we cry and pray and suffer anything to soothe his sacred heart, Jesus says it will give this reparation to the Father, and it will move the Father to have pity for souls. So here he's telling us we have to look at his sacred heart. Again, that's the divine mercy, the two rays of light coming from the heart of Jesus. We have to begin to see our God. And Jesus says, we mentioned it before, but Jesus says, when the divine will reigns, his sacred heart, it'll be 360-degree rays emanating from his heart for all the world. Right now, we only know two rays. Before divine mercy, we knew of the flames of the heart of Jesus, but we didn't see the rays of light. With this gift of the divine will, we're going to see things that we've never seen before. We're going to experience love that we've never known before. And that's why Jesus is asking us to please go to him so that he can fill us with divinity. Therefore, a divine vein ascends and descends between me and these souls, a vein which keeps consuming their human blood. More that they take part in my wound and in my own life, the larger this vein becomes. It becomes so large as to render them other Christs. And in keeping, and I keep repeating to my Father, I am in heaven, but there are other Christs on earth, wounded with my own wound, who cry like me, who suffer and pray like me. So we, Triune God, must pour out our mercy upon earth. Only these who live in my holy divine will take part in my wound of my sacred heart. Again, what the saints have told us is how to exchange hearts with Jesus. Now Jesus says, I want you to become another Christ, image and likeness. He said to Louisa, you become my skin and I reign on earth. That's with a prevenient act and an actual acts throughout the day. We say very clearly, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Come divine will, come reign in me. And then we become other Christs. It's Jesus in us who is gazing, Jesus in us that is listening, Jesus in us that is speaking, Jesus in us that is touching. So when and I tell you honestly, when the divine will reigns, the hospitals are going to close very quickly, because as the souls in the divine will walk into these hospitals, as they just walk by the rooms, people are going to be healed completely, restored completely. The prayer that we prayed today, just continue to pray that God heal everyone the way he wants them healed. He said to Louisa, he's tired basically of the Band-Aid approaches of healing. Everyone who was healed 100 years ago is dead. With a divine will, it's complete restoration, complete healing. And it is our job to bring this about. We're the ones that know about the command prayer. There's wonderful prayer meetings and things that are out there, but it's only Jesus teaching Louisa about the command prayer. And he says very clearly, Adam didn't pray. He had no need to pray. He says, when we begin to live in the divine will, it is like basically Peter walking on the water. Jesus, if it is you, if you are the Messiah, tell me to command me to come to you. And so we take all our prayers and we put them in the hands of Jesus. Continue to pray for everybody here. Continue to pray for your family and your friends. And again, what we want to present to Jesus is all our prayers for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. You're thinking things that I can't think of. You're seeing things that I can't see. You're hearing things that I can't hear. But all together, it's Jesus hearing everything of everybody. It's like the Holy Mass. You go to the Holy Mass to participate in glorifying God. And now Jesus is giving us this great blessing to really begin to see healings that, it's going to set the world on fire. This is for our time. And the ones Jesus said he wants us to do this for is us. He gives this to us so that we can bring everybody before the throne of God for complete restoration, complete repairing. You know, when we see something horrible on the news, we say to Jesus, thank you for showing me this, number one. Number two, I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord Jesus. You're the one that's being offended. And number three, I want to repair this. This and all sins, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established. See, it's the final battle that's going on, and the demons are out there. And again, you have guardian angels, okay, who have been given to you by the Lord to bring you to heaven. They are your companions. They are your brothers. They are all warriors. There's no fairies among them. These guys are warriors. They're very tough. They're very strong. And the first thing they want to do when they see sin is destroy the sinner. But at the same time, they see the blood of Jesus on the sinner and backs off. But when the time goes, there are also demons that have been put on our list to bring us into hell. And again, the battle is going on. You pray to St. Michael. You pray to your holy guardian angel. Every sacrament that you have received, God has given you a holy angel. It's not your guardian angel. You'll know who your guardian angel is at the end of your life. But right now, every sacrament. So when you go to Holy Communion, you can say to the angel that was given to you at Holy Communion, you can say, Holy Angel, be with me to receive Jesus worthily. Come with me and the Blessed Mother into the Holy of Holies of my soul and spend time worshiping God and praising God and loving God and glorifying God with me. Teach me how to pray the prayers of the angels. Teach me. And I'll tell you, the angels are there waiting to be told what to do. They are servants of God and servants of the children of God. And they are waiting for us to call upon them. You know, put an angel at your door. Put an angel in every corner of your house. His Holy Guardian Angel, bring some angels to defend me. And watch what happens. See, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough, but we have all that is needed for our defense. The Sacred Scapular, the Holy Rosary, exercise holy water, the Miraculous Medal. I mean, you have the Relic of Louisa. These are defenses that God has given us. And as things get bad, and they're going to get bad, you have to see how God is going to protect us. So Jesus says very clearly, it becomes so large, this vein, as to render them other Christs. And in keeping, I, God, keep repeating to my Father, I am in heaven. But there are other Christs on earth wounded with my own wound, the Sacred Heart, who cry like me, who suffer like me, who pray like me, so that we, Triune God, must pour out our mercy upon the earth. To see how this year is going to be glorious. This has been planned by God from the beginning of time, this year of mercy. This is not ordinary. This is extraordinary what's happening. Learn from Louisa. Go over this document over and over and over. Let Jesus teach you how to begin to live this life. Now, you can go to Divine Mercy. You can go to St. Faustina. But what I want, Jesus says, is to be like Christ in his image and likeness. So God must pour out his mercy upon earth. This is a divine decree. It's going to happen. And only these souls who live in my holy divine will take part in my wound of my Sacred Heart. These souls are like me on earth. These souls shall be like me in heaven, sharing the same glory of my holy humanity. Do you see what God is calling us to? This is not normal. This hasn't been seen by any of the saints before. It was lived by Adam before the fall. It was lived by Jesus and Mary, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It was breathed into Louisa. And now, as the new era is begun, as John Paul II has told us, the third millennium. As St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. St. Padre Pio says, Luisa is a second sun that is going to give light and life to everyone, to everything. That's what God has planned for us. Volume 11, 6, 4, 16, my love and my life, Jesus, I don't know much about justice, and if I pray to you, Jesus, it is for mercy. I make appeal to your love. I make appeal to your wounds. I make appeal to your blood. After all, they are still your children, your dear images, my poor brothers of mine. What can they do? In what constraints shall they be placed? To make me content, Jesus, you tell me that you will poured yourself into me, but at the points, that you save are too few. So she's saying to Jesus, you've brought about me. What about my brothers and sisters? And that's what we're doing for this year of mercy. This prayer here is very, very important. He has given us the divine will. He's given us the book of heaven. But look at your family. How many in your family know it? How many of your friends know it? How many of your coworkers know it? How many of your parishioners know it? You tell me that you poured yourself into me through Luisa, but the points that you save are too few. See, we have to have that love that Luisa had for everyone. And that's why as you get ready for this year of mercy, you know, read this again and again. Get to know this. Let Jesus begin to explain things to you in a way that he can explain to no one else. Volume 12, 10, 18. My daughter Luisa, how sweet and pleasing to me is the prayer of the souls who are intimate with me. How I, God, feel my hidden life of Nazareth being repeated with no outward appearance, without any circle of people, with no sound of bells, completely negligent and alone, to the extent that I was barely known, and I kept rising between heaven and earth, asking for souls. Not even a breath or a heartbeat escaped me, which I did not ask for souls. And as I did this, my blast resounded in heaven and drew the love of the Father to give me souls. This same sound, reverberating in hearts, cried out in a sonorous voice, souls! And how many wonders did I not work during my hidden life, known only to my Father in heaven and to my mother on earth. The same for the hidden soul, Luisa, who is intimate with me, Luisa. As Luisa prays, though no sound is heard on earth, Luisa's prayers, like bells, resound more vibrantly in heaven, to the extent of calling the whole of heaven to unite itself with Luisa, to let mercy descend upon the earth, which resounding not to the hearing, but to the hearts of creature, that they may dispose them to convert. You see, again, this is why we want to be with Luisa. As we pray, mercy is going to descend upon earth. As we pray this prayer, mercy is going to descend upon earth. How? Because of what Luisa has done. Why? Because Jesus said this is what Luisa is called to do. And again, it is not by chance that next year we have the year of mercy, this whole year. It is important that we truly begin to live this. This is our calling. And I'll tell you, out of all the things that God has given us to do to this point, this next year is the most important thing that Jesus needs from us. The most important thing. You think your family's lost? Jesus' family is lost. You think your family is sinning? Jesus' family is sinning. He needs us to bring everyone before the throne of God so that they can convert. They can let the Lord be the Lord of their life. Volume 12, 12, 6, 19. Now, I remember that one night I was doing the adoration of my crucified Jesus, telling him, my love, in your holy divine will, I find all generations, past, present, and future. And in the name of the whole human family, I adore you. I kiss you. I repair you for all. I give your wounds and your blood to everyone so that everyone may find their salvation. And if the lost souls can no longer benefit from your most holy blood, nor love you, I take it in their place in order to do what they should have done. I do not want your love to remain defrauded in anything on the part of creatures. I want to compensate. I want to repair you. I want to love you for everyone, from the first person to the last man, from Adam to the last. That prayer, I'm just thinking maybe we should make a little book just on the prayers that you can pray for this year. So that you can do what Jesus has called you to do. I'll tell you, the more I think about this year of mercy, see, Jesus knows the hammer's coming down. Jesus knows it's going to be awful. He says the whole world will shake. What does that mean? It means the whole world is going to be broken apart. I mean, that's what it means. You know, remember when it says in Scripture, valleys will be filled, mountains will be leveled? That's what's coming. I mean, you're going to see everything change. And he said, for those that are in his divine will, it is peace. For those that are outside of his divine will, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. See, Noah did not get wet. And it will be like in the time of Noah. There will be one family that will be saved. The family of Jesus, Mary, the newborn Louisa, and Louisa, the mother of the little children of the holy divine will. The mother of the second generation of the children of light. This coming year, I would say more than likely we're alive to know Louisa, to get ready to live this life of mercy. This year of mercy. While I was saying this and the other things, my sweet Jesus stretched out his arms around my neck and squeezing all of me, told me, my daughter Louisa, echo of my life. This is a title that Jesus has given to Louisa. Louisa, echo of the life of Jesus. While you were praying, my mercy was softening. My justice was losing sharpness. And not only in the present time, but also in the future, because your prayer, Louisa, will remain in act in my divine will. By virtue of it, my softening mercy will flow more abundantly. My justice shall be less rigorous. Not only this, but I, God, shall feel the note of the love of the lost souls, and my heart shall feel for you, Louisa, a love of special tenderness. And that's for us, too, who are linked to Louisa. Finding in you, Louisa, the love which these souls owed me, and I, God, shall pour into you, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, the abundant graces which I had prepared for everyone else. This is what's coming. This is why St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days there will be the greatest souls in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. And that's this gift of the divine will. Volume 14, 6, 9, 22, Jesus told me, I feel sad when they think that I am severe, and that I make more use of justice than of mercy. They are with me as if I were to strike them in each thing. Oh, how dishonored I feel by these ones. See, it's what do people say? You have one sunny day and you have 10 rainy days or something like that. Oh, it's a sunny day, but it's going to rain for 9 more days. It's like dishonoring God. If it's a sunny day, it's I glorify you, praise you, love you, adore you. And if it rains tomorrow, I praise you, I love you, I glorify you, adore you. It's the fiat constantly. Oh, how dishonored I feel by these ones. In fact, this leads them to remain at due distance from me. And the one who is distant cannot receive all the fusion of my love. And while they are the ones who do not love me, they think that I am severe. And almost a being that strikes fear. Well, just by taking a look at my life, they can only notice that I did only one act of justice, and that was when, in order to defend the house of my father, I, Jesus, took ropes and snapped them to the right and to the left to drive out the profanators All the rest was only mercy, mercy, my conception, mercy, my birth, mercy, my words, mercy, my works, mercy, my steps. The blood I shed, my pains, everything in me was merciful love. Yet these souls fear me, while they should fear themselves more than me. So here God is saying that we have to understand, you know, our God is a God of mercy. That's why we stated right in the beginning, God gives merciful to those who fear the Lord, to be afraid to sin, to be afraid to leave the purity of Jesus and Mary. That's what we're afraid of. We never want to turn away from Jesus and Mary. And again, he says, then you have my mercy. But if you don't understand my mercy, you should fear yourself, because you're going to be punished. You know, if you don't know the love of God, you have to be punished. It's just, God wants to fill you with life, fill you with light, fill you with love. And if you don't want that, then you have to live forever without it. Vine 14, 5, 12, 22. Now the soul who lives in my divine will takes part in all of my attributes, and together with me she conquers each one of my acts. She concurs in each one of my acts. Therefore, she must concur with me also in the acts of justice. So here, Luisa is the soul who lives in the divine will. Luisa takes part in all of God's attributes. Together with Luisa, she concurs in each one of Jesus' acts. Therefore, Jesus says, because of this, Luisa must concur with me in the acts of justice. That's what's coming right after this year of mercy. And I say, even during the year of mercy. This is why when I want to chastise, I hide my humanity from you, Luisa, which is more accessible to the human nature, in such a way that at the reflection of my holy humanity, you, Luisa, feel the love and the compassion that I have towards soul. And you, Luisa, snatch from me the scourges with which I want to strike them. Then, when creatures do so much as to force me to strike them, hiding my holy humanity from you, Luisa, I raise you into the light of my divinity. And as it absorbs you and delights you, you do not feel the reverberations of my holy humanity. And I, being left free, strike the creatures. So he's basically taking Luisa and filling her with more delight, so she doesn't see what God is doing to have his justice really become a blessing. The justice, the souls have to receive the justice of God. Again, we learned that. My first pastor taught me that. He says, he called me child of God all the time. He never knew my name. But he said, child of God, he says, there's two ways to do this. And he says, it's the wrong way and my way. And he was very correct. If we did it his way, everything worked out perfectly. When we did it our way, there was always trouble. And again, that's what our God wants. He wants us to do things his way, not the wrong way. And so Jesus says, therefore, either I manifest my humanity to you, Luisa, making you concur together with me in the acts of mercy towards all souls, or I, God, absorb you into the light of my divinity, making you concur in the acts of justice. But you, Luisa, are always with me. See, this is important for us to know. Where is Luisa? Always with Jesus. Where is Jesus? Always with Luisa. Even more, when I, Jesus, absorb you in the light of my divinity, it is a greater grace that I give you, while you, not seeing my holy humanity, lament that I deprive you of me, and I do not appreciate the grace, and you do not appreciate the grace you receive. And hearing that I was concurring in the acts of justice frightened Luisa. So I said, my love, now that you are striking the creatures, making their homes collapse, am I doing this together with you? No, heaven forbid that I touch my brothers. When you want to strike them, I shall make myself small in your holy will, and I shall not diffuse myself in it so as not to take part in doing what you are doing. Everything I want to do, what you do, but in this, striking creatures, never. So here you see the humility of Louisa. She never wanted us to be harmed. This is why you're going to know Louisa as Louisa La Santa, the saint of the church. And so I abandoned all myself in his holy divine will, and I felt great repugnance in me towards justice. My sweet Jesus coming back told me, Louisa, if you knew how heavy it is for me to use justice and how much I love the creature. So, see, Jesus says his justice demands this. His love and his mercy demands love and mercy, but his justice demands justice. And that's why during this year, praying to God, living in God's holy divine will, praying divine for mercy to come upon the earth, is what we're called to do. And at the end, we're going to have to pray for the justice of God to come also. And like I said, if I'm not worried about my family or friends or neighbors. Most of them are all in serious condition, serious trouble. I know that Jesus said, you do what I want, I'll do what you want. I have to trust him. I have to believe in him. I have to hope in him. I have to have confidence in him, in what he says. And if I worry, it's saying to Jesus, you're not a good God. If I'm afraid, I'm saying to Jesus, you're not a good God. But if I could say fiat in all things, then that's going to prove to Jesus that I believe in him. I hope in him and have confidence in him. Volume 14, 9:27-22. Oh, my daughter Louisa, you do not know what a struggle I find myself. My love pushes me to the point of using violence to make me come to you. Well, my justice almost forbids me because men are about to reach the excesses of evil and do not deserve the mercy which flows upon them when I come and let you, Louisa, share in my pains which they themselves inflict upon me. So here is God. We are so far from God, he's got to bring the world back to himself. And he is going to make sure that everybody knows who God is. He's going to make sure of that. It's going to be terrifying for everybody. The only thing we can continue to pray for is, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on mankind. Because the justice of God, when it comes, it's going to be very severe. And again, what does Jesus say? It's best for a man to have a millstone around his neck than to mislead one little one. They talk about priests. If a priest gives a homily that misleads somebody, the best thing for that priest is a millstone around his neck. If a bishop, the best thing is a millstone around his neck. This is Jesus is serious. A lot of priests, a lot of bishops do not recognize the seriousness of being a priest or a bishop. You know, St. Teresa of Avila says the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. It's very essential that we begin to pray for everyone, especially bishops and priests, especially the Holy Father and cardinals. Pray for them. They have a great responsibility. So he says, you must know that the leaders of the nations are conspiring together to destroy the peoples. We see that right now. To plot troubles against my church. We see that right now. And to obtain the intent, they want to use the help of foreign powers. Like I said, there are more Chinese illegals than Mexican illegals in the United States. You have to understand where we are. When Bill Clinton gave Long Beach, California to the Chinese in 1993, at that point, the Chinese have been able to bring anything and anyone into the country without going through any inspection. I mean, it's the deepest, it's the biggest port in the United States. You have to understand, and I'll tell you, some of these things that are happening, it's very severe. It's very severe. There's some things that are out there about where we are. For example, in 1993, to be This is in the United Nations. To be a racist, it doesn't talk about skin color. To be racist is to be against Islam. That's what the United Nations professes. The United Nations have stated that all nations must be under Sharia law. What they have planned, I mean, once you see what's out there, it's at this point, it's very, very nerve-wracking. And it can happen overnight. Overnight, you know, we could have a different country here. I mean, it's... we got to pray for mercy. We really have to pray for mercy because God is not going to let this continue. I mean, the thing I can't understand is, don't they remember about Sodom and Gomorrah? Don't they remember what God did? This is holy cow. Wait, okay, the point in which the world finds itself is terrible. There you go. Therefore, pray and be patient. And that's what he says to us. Pray and be patient. Volume 15, 4, 14, 23. So the whole church prays. Listen to this. I love this. And just as the tears, the penances, and the prayers to obtain the Messiah were directed toward that excelling Virgin Mary, whom I, Jesus, was to dispose in order to centralize such a great good in Mary, so that they might receive their Savior, and even though they did not know whom she would be, in the same way, now, when the church recites the Our Father, it is precisely for you, Louisa, that the church prays. So that I, Jesus, may centralize in you, Louisa, all the good that my divine will contains. And it shows the way and the how the divine will may have life on earth as it does in heaven. That's the book of heaven. That sentence right there, we have to memorize. You want to know what the divine will is? When everybody prays the Our Father, it is centralized in Louisa. How and way, the way the divine will is going to have life on earth as it does in heaven. And even though you, Louisa, are not known, by echoing my prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the church prays to me, presses me to centralize this good in a second virgin, Louisa. So that, like a second Savior, these are titles that Jesus has given to Louisa. Louisa may save unsafe humanity. Louisa make use of my inseparable love and mercy. And I, Jesus, may answer my own prayer, united that to the whole church, making man come back to his origin, come back to the purpose for which I, God, created him, that my divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is precisely the living of my divine will. And everything I, God, keep manifesting to you, Louisa, pushes you to Louisa to this, to confirm you in this. That is... Now, you can understand why Cardinal Burke says, when I hear things about Louisa, it overwhelms me. This should overwhelm us. This Our Father is basically being prayed to so Louisa will receive everything so that the kingdom will be established. Holy cow. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she that God has said she is the second virgin? And then he says, not only that, like a second Savior. This is a human. You know, this is, again, I can't wait until the church begins to explain to us who Louisa is. I want to hear how magnificent she is. A human. This is not the Son of God. This is not the Mother of God. This is a human, born of original sin, like us. And Jesus says, when you link yourself to Louisa, you will also possess what I gave to her. Volume 22, 11, 27. As I was in my usual state, my adorable Jesus made me see, many strings in my interior, one close to the other, starting from a sphere that was in the middle of these strings. And I just picture that. It's just amazing. Under the sphere, it was empty. And in that empty space, there was my sweet Jesus, who very often touched those strings and played, but such a harmonious and beautiful way that it cannot be described. And after Jesus played his little sonata, Jesus said to me, "My daughter Louisa, these strings are symbol of the soul in whom my divine will reigns." See, that's what God wants to see in us. He wants to play a beautiful masterpiece in us. He wants to produce a beautiful music in us. He says, "I place everything in order. The strings of love, the strings of goodness, the strings of power, the strings of mercy, the strings of strength, the strings of wisdom, strings of purity, and some everything. I have not excluded even the strings of justice. But do you know why I, God, have disposed all these strings in you, Louisa? Because wherever my divine will reigns, I, God, want to find all of myself and all the things that belongs to me in such a way that whatever I do in heaven, I must be able to do in Louisa, the soul whom my supreme fiat dominates and reigns." That's what God wants to do in us as well. What he gave to Louisa, he wants to give to us. He's so gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He wants to give us everything that he gave to Louisa. I, God, must have my throne. I, God, must have my melodies. And so as to be able to vibrate the sound of mercy, to convert souls, the sound of wisdom, to make myself known, the sound of my power and justice, to make myself feared. Again, it's to be afraid to sin. I must be able to say, "Here is my heaven," in the soul who lives in the divine will. That's what he wants to say in us. And that's why the more you read, the more you study, the more you really begin to live this book of heaven, the happier you're going to be. God, and I always could tell a soul that's not reading because they're miserable. If you are miserable, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, it's because you haven't read. Read. Read continuously. It doesn't have to, you don't have to start from one end of the book to the end, other. You've got the Echo book. You've got the calendar. You've got the book of heaven. You've got the prayers after Holy Communion. You've got the introductory book. And you've got, most important, when you go to the websites, you can go and get and watch with your friends The Dawn of a Mystery. It's a new way of living that God wants us to possess. Volume 21, 3:16-27, "The secret between me and you, Louisa, has allowed me to pour out my sorrow so long and of so many centuries, in which while my divine will was in the midst of the creatures and was life of each one of their acts, these souls did not recognize the divine will and keeping it in the state of continuous agony. My daughter, Louisa, a sorrow of mine poured out of the secrecy of the heart of the one who loves me and has the virtue of changing justice into mercy." Do you see? Do you see why this year is important? We want to live in the divine will. We link ourselves to Louisa, and we want to change God's justice. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. And we want to change it into mercy. This year is very, very important for us in the divine will. It's very, very important. "And my bitterness changes into sweetness. Then after I trusted you, Louisa, arranging everything together with you, Louisa, I called my priests, my ministers, and giving them the order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat, the many knowledges about the divine will." So that's what's happening right now. People are entering into this life because of what the priests. Now, this book that's coming from the Vatican, Father Sergio said, is most important to give to the priests and the bishops. And when the priests and the bishops read this, they're going to know that Louisa is everything. They're going to begin to know that. "How I call everyone that they may come into my kingdom to get out of the prison of the exile of their human will, to take possession of the lost goods so as to live no longer unhappy and as slaves of the human will, but happy and free in my most holy divine will." You see why this new era, you see why John Paul II told us to get ready for the third millennium? Something is coming that's just extraordinary. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.